Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Ferrell on the bench. So the second game of that doubleheader tomorrow, those are huge games for the Yankees at the very least. I mean, there's no getting around that. But I know Montgomery's going to pitch for the Yankees in the second game. Boston still hasn't decided who they're going to go with in the second game. Not that I'm seeing anyway. And then, so tonight's game was just a one-gamer with the Angels. And it was a makeup from a game July 1st that they lost. And the Yankees got it done and won the game 2-1. As far as everything else, Pirates and Dodgers scoreless in the fourth at Chavez Ravine. The White Sox are still up 4-2 over the A's. Going to the bottom of the eighth. Indians and Twins are 4-4. Bottom eight, I was on the Dodgers, I was on the A's, I was on the Twins. The Astros have tied up the Royals. They were losing in that game 3-1. It's now 5-5 in the bottom of the eighth. The Rockies are upsetting the Padres 5-2. Top of the ninth, one out, runners on first and second for San Diego. I have to tell you, it is amazing to me how, you know, the Padres have struggled lately. I got to be honest with you. Now, I know Tatis was out of the lineup. Fair enough. But they, you know, they lost 3 of 4 to the Diamondbacks in Arizona. So don't tell me that wasn't bad. Before that, they lost to the Marlins 7-0 last Wednesday. They beat the Marlins twice, but they still lost to them. And then prior to that, they had taking 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks. And then, you know, when I saw him play going back to the games in late July, I was at that series against the Rockies. The Padres split that 4-game series. They won the first game, lost the next two, won the last game of the series. So, you know, they've struggled, obviously, without Tatis. But, you know, the fact that they're in Colorado tonight losing again is beyond me. And they played so poorly against the Diamondbacks, losing the 3 of 4. They finally won on Sunday because Tatis was back in the lineup and he hit 2 home runs. So, obviously, he's the key to everything for them. They just look really average when he's not playing. When he is playing, they're dangerous. I know they signed Jake Arrieta tonight. And I am just completely not buying that. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I thought Jake Arrieta was just atrocious with the Cubs this year. I just think he is, it's painfully obvious he's shot. So now all of a sudden you're going to tell me that a guy that had an ERA around 7 is going to just go to the West Coast into San Diego and pick up like the Cy Young winner? Like that he's going to be so transformed and so overwhelmed by the wonderful weather and everything getting out of Chicago with the Cubs that he's suddenly going to find his groove and pitch well for the Padres? You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. The guy was atrocious every single time he pitched for the Cubs this year. It's just awful. I'm not buying that that's going to work. We welcome in our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench on a Monday night. Mafia's running it. So I don't care about the Arrieta signing at all. I think the key for them is they got to get the wild card. They're going to lose a game tonight. The Reds are going to gain a game. They're going to be a game and a half out. The lead for that wild card keeps getting smaller and smaller because they aren't winning games they should be winning. They should be winning in Colorado tonight. That's all there is to it. They lose this game. Now, I mean, obviously they got a couple runners on in the ninth, but it now runners at the corners with two outs. They're still down 5-2. No room for error there. And I'm telling you, that wild card was 2.5 at the beginning of the night, and it's going to be, now it's down to 2. It's going to be 1.5 when they lose. The Reds are playing great baseball overall. And I told you they were just absolutely destroying the Cubs tonight. And, I mean, I told you, you put up 12 yourself. They beat them 14-5 tonight. I said today they'd score 12 by themselves. They scored 14. 14-5, so the overhit. They're kicking ass. I mean, the Cubs have lost 12 in a row. I mean, they are ridiculous. What's happened to the Chicago Cubs? Oh, my God. If I'm a Cub fan, I'm gonna start drinking and go to White Sox games. I can't even take that 12 in a row. Honestly. At least the White Sox are good if you live in Chicago. It's Pharrell on a bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks. Find a penny and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get Tomy. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mafia cutting me off there quickly. Thanks. Appreciate that. What is going on, man? Anyway, the Rays beat the Orioles 9-2, and the Braves win again. That's 11 of 13, 12-2. They beat the Marlins. Blew them out. There's another team that's tanking. Can't get it done. And right now, the Giants are up on the Mets 2-0. They're in the bottom of the fourth. Runners on first and second, two outs. And they're playing in San Francisco. Now, I've talked about, oh, the Padres tied up the Rockies. How about that with the runners on the corners? Boy, did they need that. The runners on the corners with two outs, and they were down 5-2. It's now 5-5. They got it done. Grisham homered. A three-run shot. Grisham with two outs hit the big shot in the ninth. A 386-foot blast to left. Cronenworth and Nola scored 5-5. Wow, how clutch was that by Grisham? They were getting their ass beat all night, and now they come back in the ninth with two outs and tie it up. That's huge. As far as the Giants leading the Mets 2-0, I mean, that's just another night at the office for the Giants. But the Mets are another story altogether. All they do is lose. I mean, it is unbelievable to me what's happened to them. I mean, it really is. So they got swept by the Dodgers. Now they are losing to the Giants. I mean, the game's in the fourth, so anything could happen. But they're losing 2-0 already. I mean, they lost 14-4 on Sunday to the Dodgers, 2-1 on Saturday, 6-5 on Friday night. They should have won those games. They did beat the Nationals in the two games of the doubleheader on Thursday. Thank God for that. And then they beat them on Tuesday as well. So they kicked the Nationals' ass. The Phillies swept them. And then they lost 2 of 3, make it 3 of 4 to the Marlins in Miami. I mean, it has just been a disaster. Don't let me go back too far in time. It might get even worse. All I know is the big boys came in from Lipstick City, the Dodgers, and beat their ass. That's just all there is to it. And when they played the Phillies, it didn't go well. When they played the Marlins, it didn't go well. And then you beat up the Nationals, which these days is like beating up the Cubs. The Nationals are just as bad as the Cubs. The only thing the Nationals have is Soto, and that's it. And then, I mean, you can beat, you know, a team with nobody. Good for you. Maybe they should play the Cubs. You know, then they might be able to win a game. But they got swept by the Dodgers, and they were in those games. But nevertheless, they got swept. So now they're going to go to San Francisco and L.A. Then they come back, and they have to play the Giants. After they play the four games at Dodger Stadium, they come back a week from tomorrow and play the Giants, a three-game set at Citi Field. And by then, they could be doomed. I mean, seriously. Going into tonight, they were already three back of Atlanta in the East, which isn't overwhelming, but it is when all you do is lose. You know what I mean? It is a problem. Three games is a problem when you don't win that often. They've won 3 of 10, and they lost the 3 in a row. Now, as far as the wild card goes, they're 6.5 back in that situation. The Dodgers and Padres have the top two spots. I told you before, the Reds are two back. The bottom line is the Padres need to win that game against the Rockies. Then they go up 2.5 and stay at 2.5 where they started the day. They cannot afford to get down to 1.5. Then the next thing you know, it's a half. Then the next thing you know, you're not in the lead at all. And it's, to me, like a NASCAR race. You get past on, you know, the last couple laps, you're losing the race. That's what I see happening. Now, as far as the AL wild card goes, it's Oakland, Boston. They basically have the same record. And then, one is 68-50, the A's. Boston's 69-51. The Yankees are two back. And the Yankees have won 3 in a row now and 7 of 10. So they've been getting the job done and winning the two games at Chicago against the White Sox over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I think was enormous for them. And then they turn around and win tonight in the Bronx, 2-1. So tomorrow's doubleheader with the Red Sox, you know, in essence, is huge for them. Rockies take the lead in the bottom of the ninth. They just, that game's over now, right? Walk off, game over. That's that. 6-5. Rockies just won the game. So their lead's 1.5. How about that? They actually tied the game on a Grisham 3-run homer in the ninth with 2 outs, and then they turn right around and lose the game in the bottom of the ninth. That is crazy. Joe homered to right center, 415. That was early. I want to know who did it. Cron homered to right to win it for the Rockies. It was a Cron homer to right field, 414 feet. So you get the Grisham homer to tie it for the Padres, and then they turn right around and give up a Cron homer to lose the game. That is crazy. 6-5, Colorado wins it. So huge loss. And how about the Royals just beat the Astros 7-6? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Kansas City won that game. They were up 7-5 in the eighth. Perez with a single to right. A two-run single. Merrifield and Lopez scored, made it 7-5. And then Castro homered for the Astros in the ninth to make it 7-6. But they couldn't get anything else. And the Astros lose to the lowly Royals. Unbelievable. That's crazy. That White Sox lead now is 5-2 over the A's in the top of the ninth. So the A's look like they're in trouble. Don't forget, the Bassett Hound pitches for the A's tomorrow against the White Sox. Nice bounce back win for the White Sox after losing the two on Saturday and Sunday to the Yankees, that they take on an A's team that's been as tough as the Yankees lately. I mean, the A's and Yankees basically have been playing better basketball than anybody. And they came in there hot, and the White Sox cooled off a little bit after the Field of Dream game. And then they turn right around, and you know, they're winning right now 5-2, and it looks like they'll close that game out. I can't even believe the Pirates and Dodgers are scoreless in the fifth at Chavez Ravine. How are the Dodgers effing around with the Pirates? I mean, you got to be kidding me. The Pirates are so awful. And that's my team, 42-76. I mean, you know you suck when you're 42-76. That's as bad as it gets. And then meanwhile, Jackson's pitching, I guess. And I'm keeping an eye on what's happening in this game in terms of Brawl pitching for the Pirates. And then Jackson's now in for the Dodgers. He's pitched 3 1/3 so far. Walked 3, struck out 5. Brault is pitching for the Pirates, holding the Dodgers down at this point. All right, it's Pharrell on the bench. Go with us. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger up.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So they made the game at the Field of Dreams game for Cubs-Reds next year in Dyersville, Iowa. The Field of Dreams game is set. Anyway, hope it's better than that 14-5 job that they played tonight. And Joey Votto with his 2,000th career hit in that one. But the bottom line is... I can't believe they, frankly, put the Cubs in it. I mean, the first thing I thought of was, what is Rob Manfred doing putting the Cubs in anything? I mean, they absolutely sold the farm. They absolutely got rid of their entire team. They have nothing. They're awful. They're not going to be any better next year. What are they going to do? They didn't spend any money to begin with on any of them. They offered them all crappy deals, and they all got dealt because none of them would sign the crappy deals, right? So they lost all their star players, Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, Kimbrel. They sold out the whole team. So what do they have now? Now they got a single-A team. I know people will go to the stupid game in Iowa, but because Cub fans are everywhere, fair enough. But everyone that's a Cub fan now knows that they bend over every day now. I mean, they're literally throwing games. You can't deny it. They've lost 12 in a row. I mean, they just absolutely have thrown in the towel. What makes you think they're going to be any better next year? They're not. I mean, at this point, they're the laughing stock of baseball. Are they not? I mean, what in God's name? You know, it's funny to me with the money they make, the Cubs on the north side of Chicago, and with everything they make at that ballpark and those rooftops and everything else, don't even tell me that that's not a moneymaker and a viable business model in Chicago. Are you kidding me? Television deals, marquee network, baseballs, television deals that give them a slice of pie. The Cubs, are you kidding me? The Cubs are so popular. The advertising rates on the Cubs are through the roof. They're like Dodgers and Yankee money. They are. And that's the product you're going to put out on the field for people to watch? You're going to sell the entire team and put that product out there? Who in their right mind would walk around the corner right now and pay money to go watch the Cubs single A team play Major League Baseball? It's embarrassing. Have you seen their games lately? Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started, because I'll do it. You know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Mafia knows I was going to do it. He knew it. He was like, uh-oh, he's going to do it anyway. Look at these scores. 14-10, they lost to the Marlins. 17-4 to the Brewers. 10-0 to the Brewers. 9-3 to the White Sox. 4-0 to the White Sox. 8-6. The runs, 6-5 to the Rockies. 13 runs the Rockies scored on them. And that's just in August. That's just in August. That's in this current malaise they're in, this season-ending crash landing after trading the whole team. I mean, they're giving up. I mean, you tell me. That's got to be an average of at least 10 runs a game. On average, a couple of them, 16, 17, 13, 12, 14 tonight. I mean, they've given up 14 runs twice in the last 4 days, 17 and 10 in 6 days. I mean, my God. I mean, you talk about lubing up. They're just getting absolutely KY'd. Your boy, the Cubs. Are you kidding me? What a mess. Who wants to go around a corner to see them play? You know what? They should be playing in a cornfield every day. They should be playing out in the sticks. It's a A-ball team. What a disaster. Jed Hoyer. Are you kidding me? Like, Jesus. I hope they got what they wanted out of all those deals. I hope the franchise can turn it around and have a good showing next year in Dyersville, Iowa, in the Field of Dreams game. Because I have a feeling they're going to be the same crappy team then that they are now. I mean it. So just because I'm a nice guy. These are all that. Now I got it, Mafia. Every game today was a consolation game in the NBA Summer League. So all these games are their final game. And they're all runners up. They're all failed, in their attempt to make it to the Summer League final that the Celtics and Kings will be in tomorrow night. All these games tonight were consolation games. The Pacers by 9 over the Wizards. The Nuggets beat the Bucks by 7. The Thunder blew out the Spurs big. The Cavs by 3 over the Suns. I only gave one game today on Coast to Coast. I said, whatever you do, bet on the Knicks. And they won 104-85 over the Hawks. The Pistons beat the Magic by 1. And the Grizzlies over the Clippers, 104-95. Saw that deal. I talked about it today on C2C, the Beverly deal for Bledsoe. And we all know, look, I said it today, I'll say it again. I'm not a fan of either of them. I'm really not. I don't like Beverly. I think he's a hack. And I know everybody loves him in LA. The Clippers fans love him. I know all the You know, national NBA guys love him because he is a, you know, lockdown defender. That's all I ever hear. He's such a great defender. Yeah, okay. You mean like, so you mean like defending with the Clippers the last few years? Like, you mean the teams that never went anywhere? You know, you mean that type of defender, the one that they talk big about, but they never get it done? You mean that type of defending? Because the Clippers never got it done with him. They never got it done with, and I like PG, I like Kawhi, but they didn't get it done with them either. And they had to change something. And to have guys like that can't shoot, that I guess flop and play some kind of, you know, at least I'll give him credit. He is physical defender. I won't deny that. He's scrappy. He's tough. He's gangster D. But I don't think he's a good player. I really don't. I think he's sloppy. I don't trust his shooting. I mean, I'll give you that he can play some D, but I'm not overwhelmed by it. I'm not like Draymond Green defense. I'm just like, all right, Beverly's tough. He's physical. I get it. He's a tough guy, whatever. But, you know, as a guard, he's so lame. Honestly, let's just stop. And I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of Bledsoe either. I think, you know, I said this today. I'll say it again. I've never liked him since his body transformed into muscle, more muscle than when he was lean and he was quick and when he was fast and when he, you know, was coming out of Kentucky, he was a baller. He could jump. He could do everything. And then when he got to the league, he became this rock looking, weightlifting looking type player where he just got too ripped. Listen. There's only certain guys that I like in, you know, frankly, in the NBA that are muscle players, you know, that are ripped and that are just absolutely all about the weights and pumping and lifting and being strong and everything else. I like guys that are physical, like Mafia's big and physical, but he's not like Mr. Weightlifter. He's not Mr. chiseled, ripped, a bunch of abs and huge guns and enormous chest and everything. He doesn't have that. He's just physical. That's it. He's not. I mean, there's guys that are strong. Like I lift weights every day. I'm strong. I'm physical, but I'm not ripped in any stretch. But I think Bledsoe's too ripped. He's just, he became like a fire hydrant muscle player. He just became so tight. I thought his J was tight. I never liked him. And I think he was one of the reasons why the Bucks never got it done. I mean it. I never thought he was good with Milwaukee. They kept talking about Bledsoe so good. They never got it done when he was the guard. And then Holiday comes in, just normal body, you know, lanky, faster, better handle, better defender, not all ripped up and shredded up. Just a guy that plays ball with the body that he has. And he's strong and tough. I love players like that. And what happened? They won the championship. And don't tell me Holiday didn't have a piece of that, because he played a lot better than Bledsoe ever did. And they never looked back. So I didn't really like that deal. Rondo's part of it too. Rondo's shot. He's old. Those days are over. His days of being dominant and being like the floor general leader, baddest player on the floor, those days are long gone. That's all there is to it. It's throwing a bit.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't take a hoof to the head.
No!
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, get that camera going again. There you go. So, Mafia, what do you think? Do you always like when I give reports of violence at the basketball courts?
Love it. Miss it.
We got to get Mafia back out there. He hasn't played in a while, but I saw fights break out. It really wasn't much of a fight. It was a one-sided beatdown. I saw one guy talk smack and just kept talking smack and kept talking smack. And then the other guy warned him, and he just said, I'm going to put up with about no more of this. And then the kid opened his mouth again, and then that was it. It was on. And this dude just lit him up. I mean, it was like, boom, boom, boom. I was like, what is happening here? Because I wasn't in the game. And I don't have problems up there. I really don't. And I don't get in fights with people. I don't argue with people. I just score. And all I know is that I was sitting on the sideline talking to, like, Killer, my buddy, and we're just standing there watching the game and minding our own business. Then all of a sudden you just heard fist on face. Bam, bam, bam. I was like, this kid's glasses were sideways on his head. But I felt nothing, actually. I didn't feel any remorse or, like, for the kid, or I didn't feel sorry for anybody. I mean, if you just keep talking, and I warned the kid, I was like, dude, I'm telling you, you are barking up the wrong tree. These people are not going to put up with you. He's like, I don't care what you say, old man. He goes, I ain't afraid of nobody. And then I saw him get his face smashed in. I think that he'll change his tune now. That's my guess. Or never come back again. You know, because I know a couple people yelled, don't come back, after he was, you know, they carried him out of there. But, you know, you gotta read the room a little. You got to know who you're dealing with. Like, you take on these big dudes. Like, there's another kid that talks, that thinks he's tough. And this other guy, Mafia knows him. He's a bull in a china shop. He's at least 265, 270 pounds, and he means business. I mean, you get this kid full steam going a little bit at about 10, 15 steps and 270 pounds behind him, he will run you over, and he will get on top of you, and he will unleash venom on you, and that'll be that. And this other kid, and Mafia knows him too, thinks he's tough, and he's like talking tough and acting tough, and he's like, yeah, whatever, man. He does the whole chirp thing with his hands and his fingers. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to help you. I take the kid out to lunch. I'm like, I'm warning you. There's people that don't like you, and it's gonna end poorly for you here. It's just not gonna go well. And I mean, I play with these guys that are just, I mean, they put up with it, but only for so long, and then it all breaks out. I love it, too, because I'm not in the middle of it. I'm just dealing. I got no time for any of those shenanigans. I'm too old. Meanwhile, I got my son playing with me, and he's like, right, the kid's 16, and all these grown men are fighting, right? And even the kids that are 23, 24 are taking on these 35, 40-year-old dudes. It just doesn't end well for them. They all think they're tough until they deal with some of that old man strength. And then, so my son's like pretty smart kid, and he's a great basketball player now. You can't even stop him. He's unstoppable. He does whatever he wants on the basketball court. And he's like making fun of all the old men. He's like, you're all a bunch of children. I heard him say in the middle of a huge fight. He's like, you guys are, he's like, you're such a bad example. He's like, you're all a bunch of children. I've never, grown men, look at you. He said at one point, look at all of you. You're embarrassing. A 16-year-old telling a bunch of 40-year-old men how embarrassing they are. And he's right. That's what's worse. And it's bad, but it's fun to watch him play against all these men and light him up, though, I got to tell you. Because he's got it all going, inside-outside game, man. He'll torch you for threes, or he'll take you to the bucket and scoop it in like he's at Baskin-Robbins. 33 flavors, son. Scoop it up. He's got the whole dribble-drag game down. He's got the handle. He's got speed. He can shoot. He can score inside, outside. He drives. He's got a floater. It's amazing watching him, turn into a baller before my very eyes. He'll be playing a lot this year. I know that much. In high school, he's no joke. He played in some tournament in Jersey on Saturday. They played a bunch of college kids and got lit up. I saw the highlights. It wasn't good, Mafia. They were dunking on him, tomahawk dunking on him. These college kids meant business. It was like those college teams we used to run into in the summer that would run us out of the gym. They were so athletic, and they, you know, alley-oop and dunk and run up and down and run circles around you because they're athletes and they're in better, you know, speed, shape, legs. They can dunk. They can run you up and down and drive you into the early grave. But that's what they played against. He took on a bunch of college kids. These are all juniors in high school taking on, you know, sophomores and juniors in college. That's a huge differential. That's a huge advantage physically and, you know, frankly, mentally and certainly athletically. That's all there is to it. So anyway, you know, we were talking earlier about all the NFL games and everything that went down over the weekend. Now this week you got the games coming one after the next. But I mentioned some things today on Coast to Coast that we didn't really get to elaborate on in terms of the games over the weekend. We did talk at some length about that fight, the fist fight at the Rams-Charger game started by this chick. She threw like a giant Coke on these people, and then it was just absolutely on. There was just massive violence and haymakers and people just getting bloodied and broken noses and fat lips and big old black eyes. And I mean, there was just people everywhere throwing down. I mean, it turned into like a gang fight. It was unbelievable. And the thing that stood out to me more than anything else is no cops showed up, no security at SoFi. It was terrible. They just went at it for like 5 minutes at least without any interference from anyone. Usually when a fight breaks out at a sporting event in the stands, the cops get there relatively quickly and then there's, you know, it disperses. But this one, there was none of that. It was just on and it just kept going on forever. It ruined the game. It ruined the game. It really did. The Chargers ended up beating the Rams 13-6. I still think the Rams will end up being a better team than the Chargers this year. I really do. The Raiders beat the Seahawks 20-7. No one cares. But they did have a game in the Allegiant Stadium finally. I don't know if that's the first one that they played there. I think it is. They never played. Or did they? They played there with no fans, right? Mafia, didn't they play there with no fans? Oh, all right. Well, this is the first one that they actually had fans at, right? So there you go. The Chiefs beat the Niners 19-16. How about the Packers throwing games? They don't even try. So now that we know the Packers don't try in their preseason games, bet against them the next 2 weeks. The Bengals beat the Buccaneers. There's another team that doesn't try. Tampa, they won the Super Bowl. So why play and try in a preseason game? The Jets beat the Giants 12-7. Mafia thinks the Jets are going to the Super Bowl. He told me earlier that they were going to the Super Bowl. That's what they say in the tabloids every year, in the back pages, always, every year. Jets, Giants, Super Bowl bound. Playoffs, automatic. Ravens, they always win preseason games. They won 17-14 over the Saints. Saints looked awesome in their game. They had 6 turnovers. And then I had to listen to their coaching staff talk about some of the good things they did. There are no good things that you do when you have 6 turnovers in the NFL in a game. Browns beat the Jags by 10, blew them out. All you hear about afterwards is Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer's not happy. But the Browns are certainly more loaded and more dangerous, even a preseason Browns team, than the Jags. I think the biggest surprise of Saturday was the Broncos blowing out the Vikings 33-6. I know people may have thought there were better games. I'm not one of them. In terms of, you know, surprises, I mean, the Broncos destroying them. Locke and Bridgewater lighting it up. That was impressive. The Bears beat the Dolphins. Fields was great. You go back to Friday, Cards beat the Cowboys. Bills beat the Lions. Titans beat the Falcons. And then Thursday, Washington lost to the Pats. And the Steelers beat the Eagles. I was 12-0 in NFL bets going into Saturday. I hit the Bears to win. I lost the Broncos game. I hit the Browns game, hit the Ravens game, lost the Jets, hit the Bengals spread, lost the Packers, hit the Chiefs, lost the I don't even remember if I bet on the Raiders. And I lost the Rams, I'm pretty sure, and the Colts beat the Panthers 21-18. But at the end of the day, I was up so big from the games on Thursday and Friday, plus the Hall of Fame game. So I was 12-0 in NFL bets going into Saturday. So at the end of the day, I'm still up really big in NFL games so far. So this week, you got more action, more of the same. Pats and Eagles Thursday night on NFL Network. That should be good. Friday, Chiefs and Cardinals in Zona. Bengals at Washington. Saturday, the Lions and Steelers at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. I have tickets to that one. I wouldn't walk around the corner to watch that game. Bills and Bears in Chicago. That might be a good game. The Jets and Packers are playing at Lambeau. Nice performance by the Packers against the Texans. Now they have no quarterbacks to play in that game. Maybe they'll go with a single wing now that Love's injured. Or at least hurt his shoulder. I wouldn't let him play. I wouldn't let him on the field anymore. The rest of the preseason, I wouldn't let him touch it. Not once. The Falcons and Dolphins are in Miami. Ravens at Panthers. When are people going to start saying Matt Rule's not getting the job done? Last year was a disaster. They look bad on Sunday. All he talks about all the time is losing. That's it. So they pay him a ton of money and he doesn't win. Maybe he's just a college coach. Titans and Bucks in Tampa. Texans and Cowboys at Jerry's World. Colts and Vikings in Minny. The Vikings are disgusting, what I saw from them. I watched that game. It was terrible. Broncos kicking their ass. Raiders and Rams at SoFi. The Broncos and Seahawks in Seattle. Those games are all Saturday. And then Sunday, Giants and Browns, Niners, Chargers. That one's at SoFi as well. And then Monday night, there's actually a Monday night football game next week when we're on the bench. Jags and Saints in New Orleans. It's Pharrell on the bench.
Guys, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So the Dodgers placed Cole Hamels on the 60-day injury list, and his season's over before it ever started. I mean, he's not pitching for the Dodgers this season. Remember they signed him like last week? He's not pitching. This is the same type of BS. Like Cole Hamels was done when he went to Atlanta. He's so finished. That's what Jake Arrieta is going to be. Done. It's amazing to me how they pick up this scrap heap BS. And listen, Cole Hamels was a great pitcher. Was. It ends. There comes a time when it's over and it's just over. And then these guys somehow keep getting jobs like this guy, Arrieta. How bad did he stink it up for the Cubs for the last year and a half? I mean, honestly, no one notices that. Like, get a grip. It's going to happen again. Dodgers and Pirates are scoreless in the sixth. Bottom six, two on, one out for the Dodgers. The Twins just won that game over the Indians 5-4. In Minny, and the Giants lead over the Mets is 4-3, but the Mets have action. Runners on first and second, one out in the top of the sixth in San Francisco. I might want to get my hands on that game. Rockies beat the Padres 6-5. Padres lead 1.5 over the Reds. Royals 7-6 over the Astros. White Sox 5-2 over the A's. Reds 14-5 over the Cubs. Rays 9-2 over the Orioles. Braves 12-2 over the Marlins. Yankees 2-1 over the Angels. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. Good night, everybody.